Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Well, good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's getting near Christmas. I'm getting into the Christmas spirit a little bit here. We've got a special week here at KRFY. It's our end of year week, so we remind people about the value of public radio, the voices we bring to the community, and we have three special voices with us today in the studio, don't we?
We sure do. We actually have two guests this morning, but we've got three guests from Sandpoint High School, which is going to be a great interview with
these
folks.
We'll be bringing in some others later, but top of the hour here, we're going to be talking with three individuals from Sandpoint High School who are responsible for one of our more interesting and exciting programs. But first, the weather, as they say, because that's what is on everyone's mind. If you came across the Long Bridge within the last hour, you saw the beautiful pinks up against the sky, a little bit of morning alpenglow, one of the things that makes living here so special.
It was gorgeous. A great reason to be up early.
It was. It is. And today is going to be mostly cloudy. We're going to see highs in the 30s and overnight lows. I'm not sure. That's cut off here. But, oh, there it is, 23 degrees tonight. So it's going to get frosty. The roads are going to freeze over again. They're probably slick still now. Be careful as you drive. Tomorrow, we have a 30% chance of snow, maybe a little rain mixed in as it hits a high of 37 and again drops down into the 20s at night. And that's going to repeat Thursday. And then Friday, it looks like it all turns to rain.
Rain. But we hope that snow up on Schweitzer.
Up high. Let's hope a couple thousand feet up. That's dumping inches and inches and inches of the white stuff. Did you have any fun over the weekend in the snow?
Well, not in the snow world, Phil. I'm waiting for it to be a little less rocky to save my skis. No, it's been all pickleball for me, Phil.
Pickleball. We went to a dance recital for a friend's three-year-old, the Jazzy Nutcracker.
Oh, nice.
And if you've never done that, that is one of the most endearing things about Sandpoint. I've been to it a couple of times over the years for friends, and it's always very heartwarming to see the Jazzy Nutcracker. And speaking of the Nutcracker, the Eugene Ballet's production is coming this Wednesday.
Yes. And what do we have, Phil?
I am holding in my hand one ticket. It's a sold-out show. So these are highly coveted. And we're going to be giving this away to, pick a number. What caller?
Maybe caller three this
week.
Okay.
Caller three. Dial in sometime during the show.
Yes.
Not right now, but dial in sometime during the show and we'll take caller number 3-208-265-2992, and you'll receive, courtesy of KRFY, a ticket to the Eugene Ballet. Now, this was donated to us.
Yes, it was by Laura Forsberg, and it's for tomorrow night. So check your schedules, listeners, and think about whether you would be free, and then you will call in later and get that ticket.
As they say, operators are standing by. Let's turn our attention to the guests in the room. One of the things, again, that makes KRFY truly a community radio is the ability to bring voices to our on-air and streaming presence. We've, for the last several years, have had a show produced by a Sandpoint High School student. Began with Ryan Baumgartner.
And yes.
It's now evolved into the Cedar Post. Anyone who's been at Sandpoint any length of time knows the Cedar Post is an outstanding print journalistic piece coming from our high school. They've now gone on the air.
It's big news. Let's introduce them.
Introduce our guests.
We've got three. Our first one is Connor Bird. Hello, Connor.
Hi. How's it going?
Great. Nice to have you here. And I have first names for my other two guests, so you're going to have to help me out. Shay, what is your last name?
Kilpatrick.
All right. Shay Kilpatrick, thank you for joining us. And Emmy.
Lynch.
Emmy Lynch.
Emmy Lynch, yep.
All right.
Yeah.
It's great to have the three of you.
So tell us a little bit about how you got involved with both the Cedar Post and with radio.
So last year, I was friends with Ryan Baumgartner, and Will Love, our teacher of Cedar Post, came up to me and said that he had talked to Ryan and talked to KRFY, and that the Cedar Post was going to take over his radio show. And he asked me if I was interested, and I said I was, and it's been history ever since. So now I have Ryan's 3 o'clock rush show, which airs every Thursday at 3, and we just talk about what's going on at the school, and I play music and have interviews with teachers and students and staff members.
All right, and Emmy and Shay, tell me what your parts are in this new radio programming
So Ryan came to me and Mr. Love and I last year, and he said, so I'm leaving to college. I don't want to just give this up to just anybody. So he was really specific in choosing what he wanted to happen with his show. And part of that was knowing exactly who it would go to, and that ended up being Connor. And Connor was a great choice because he's got a great taste in music. He's got a great radio presence. He's just really easy to sit down and have a chat with. So we decided Connor was the perfect person. Ryan had a bunch of meetings with all of us, and we finally officiated it with Susie. So it's been really great. It gives us great bragging rights. It's makes us feel really accomplished to have introduced such a cool aspect of journalism to our program. And it's just been great being on KRFY, and it's been great.
So tell us about the show. Okay, I'm sorry. We have one more. How did you get involved?
Shay.
Well, I'm actually not super involved with the radio show itself. We do a bunch of a couple class things a week where we just sit down with Connor and talk about what's going on in Cedar Post world. Connor is working away at that all the time, so we miss him a little bit in the class, but I'm more focused on our newspaper and things like that, so we're working on getting to print every couple months.
So that's one thing I'm really interested about, is how this radio program dovetails into the newspaper. How do they complement each other?
So, well, we actually just sent our second edition of the newspaper into print yesterday on Monday. So that's kind of our holiday-themed edition. So as far as the radio plays in, a lot of the interviews we do on the radio, we actually have used for the stories. For example, we did, what did we do? We did a story on John Brownell, our high school music teacher, and he was actually a guest on the radio show. So as one of our writers was writing her story, she pretty much just eavesdropped in on Connor's conversation and used some quotes from there. So it's a really good source of information. The paper, we actually have, in the past years, the Cedar Post would put out an issue like even every week, every month, and now we do it only like 4 times a year. But that's because we are focused more on web-based content, and our goal is to get something out every day. In the past couple weeks or so, it's been a little bit, we haven't met that standard simply because we're working on the paper, but usually our standard is to have something out every week. Or every day, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the radio also plays into the online aspect because during some good interviews, I'll record them and make them into little podcasts and then put them up on our website for people to listen at a later date. So
it sounds like, and tell me a little bit more where this is going. I'd like to hear how the show has evolved from Ryan's vision to one that is more aligned with the aspects of journalism you've described.
Mm-hmm. Ryan's show was more, we were both based on the same principle of giving students a voice at the high school on the public airways. But I think our goal is more to share the news and the people of SHS, whereas Ryan was more focused on events that were happening and things like that. Whereas we interview people who don't often get a lot of airtime, or we choose teachers who have something really interesting to tell. And I always like to get them on the show to tell their story and to tell the news of SHS.
And what about that trivia game? Is it still here?
I don't do the trivia game, but
fair enough.
Could be a good idea to bring in. So.
It was pretty easy I would say.
So we've been talking a little bit about the show. When does it air?
It airs every Thursday at 3 o'clock and re-airs every Friday at 10.
That's when I usually catch it, Friday nights at 10. Thursdays at 3 I'm working, but Friday nights at 10 is a nice break from what I'm doing. So,
Julie here. I'd be interested in knowing, for those of you, that would be Emmy and Shay, who've come from the print side of the Cedar Post, how you've grown into the radio part, how you like that, if it's made a difference in your education, your life at high school. Standpoint.
Well, I really think that, we're always striving to find multifaceted ways to give a story, whether that's web content, whether it's a video, or a paper story or something of that nature. I think it's really awesome that we have a third aspect where we can give someone a story, but in a different way, and then maybe possibly an easier way to hear it. I think we are reaching a lot more people now, And it's always something we're looking for as the high school. Like, I think as teenagers, we find a lot of the time that there's a little bit of a misunderstanding between adults and teenagers, and I think that that's been a long-standing thing, so I think it's really great that we're building a connection there. Would you mind repeating the question?
You've answered it, just sort of if radio's made a difference, if it's been how the experience of radio has been as compared to your print and other media work. And I will just say this, that you're so correct. Adults, we're not probably reading the Cedar Post. We're not reading your publication for.
Oh, I pick it up every week at Evans Brothers.
Phil?
Not every week. Every time it comes out at Evans Brothers.
All right. Well, so maybe some adults are not reading the Cedar Post regularly, and to have it have your views broadcast brings it to more adults, and that can only help us understand generational.
Well, I think it's great, issues. Too, how the journalism has evolved over the years from when Julie and I were in school. And I think the paper was put out on stone tablets once a year. And it was a big undertaking. The proofing of that, if you got the character wrong, it was really bad. You had to go do the whole stone again. And now we're in the digital age.
Yeah.
That's got to be really exciting.
Yeah, well, I think that also just the show being an aspect for us to reach adults and other people, I think it's really done for me, at least when I have been involved. I've talked to a lot of people in the high school, especially that I wouldn't have actually talked to. And the fact that we can produce content about that so quickly and that growth is crazy. Like you're saying, the digital age, we give 3 weeks for a paper, and that involves writing the stories, creating photos, creating graphics, editing pages and things like that. And it's a really quick turnaround period. While we are only doing 4 times a year, it happens really fast. We only have a couple weeks between each publication.
So. And you're publishing stuff online more frequently. Tell us about that.
So we have, I think, 13 staffers with a bunch of different positions. I mean, of course, we have the radio show. We have humans editors. We have reviews editors. Something we've brought to the table this year a little bit more is like our CP reviews. We have our reviews editor. Her name is Hadley Goodwin. She's a senior. We go around and there's been a lot of new things in Sandpoint. We review new drinks. We reviewed like the pumpkin spice latte. We reviewed the new bakery, the long shot. I think that has been really fun for people. And that kind of gives you a basis to understand like the kind of media we're producing. So it's kind of been a little bit more interactive this year. The reviews are just something that come to mind, but yeah.
Where do you see? Go ahead.
Did we straighten out what grade everyone's in? How long are we having you all? Connor, you're a senior?
I'm a junior.
You're the junior. Oh, good. And our gals, our Emmy and Shay, you're the seniors.
Yep.
All right. So this is your last year.
Continuity next year. You'll be able to continue on?
I hope so. I plan to have this radio show next year. I don't know if I'll still be doing it, but I would like to keep it in the Cedar Post, so...
Mm-hmm. And stay and then, involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And then I would also like to keep the content once a day, keep going next year. I think that's really great. And it if you go to our website, you can really see how much hard work we put into Cedar Post. And mm-hmm. and I would like that to keep going next year.
And I'm sure Google can find it, but what's the address for the website?
It's shscedarpost.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so where do you both see yourselves going after you graduate?
I'm planning on going to Boise State, getting a degree in psychology, probably continuing my little journalism hobby. They have a newspaper there called The Arbiter. So I'm planning on joining that if that all works out. And then Shay?
I'm actually graduating at the end of the semester in January. I'm not sure where I'm going to go to college in the fall, but for the time being, I'll be traveling and working. I'm going to Central America for a month and a half. At the end of January.
Oh, so. How fun. Are you going to report in from the field and provide updates for everybody?
I don't know about that. I'm trying to like go a little tech-free maybe.
But you'll at least take a reader with you and take a photo and send it
back.
Do
some scholarship homework.
And there's a fine tradition here of local students going off to college and coming back to write for the reader. Are you listening, Lindsay? She has a wonderful career, I think, and it started all with an interest in high school.
I mean, I think that our program is a wonderful aspect. We've all been involved since our freshman year with journalism 1 and 2 classes, and I think that they've really taught me some real life experience and how to talk to people. It's really, really an important thing that I've learned.
Question for any of the three of you, but is the Cedar Post extracurricular or is it part of a school class, a curriculum?
You get school class or credit. School credits for it. Actually, if you're an editor, it's an honors credit. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's super great, but it should be considered both, honestly, with how much time we spend after school and like outside of class. But so I'd say actually both.
Okay. I don't think we've asked you your titles.
Oh, yeah. Emmy. So I'm the editor-in-chief, so I'm kind of in charge of organizing just pretty much all the general things.
I am the senior managing editor, so I'm Emmy's backup. I'm there for everything she can't handle just on her own, because she's got everything going on. And I really take charge of the paper, making sure that everybody's got their stories actually laid out correctly and things of that nature. So,
all right. And how about you, Connor?
And I am the radio and podcast editor. So I'm in charge of the radio show and just making sure that all goes smoothly.
The operations have certainly grown, and it's wonderful to see the great diversity. And this is a good chance to remind our listeners that if you appreciate local radio, bringing local voices and this kind of diversity to our community, one way to show that is by supporting KRFY. Our operations aren't free, although we volunteer our time as broadcasters. It takes a certain amount of money to keep the lights on, the interwebs running, and all the stuff before us working. So you can come down to 323 North First Avenue, greet us in person, and leave a check this week. You can go online to krfy.org and make a secure PayPal donation. And another way to support us is to call in with a donation for the Nutcracker ticket.
Yes.
Be number 3 with a donation, and we will be able to give you an opportunity to go see the sold-out Eugene Ballet tomorrow.
That's right, and we were hoping for a $30 donation at least, since it's a $30 value.
So $30 listeners, value on the face, but right now on the street, I think it's double that, isn't it?
Priceless, really.
Priceless, really.
You couldn't get in. So we will take calls for that now. So if you call in, we'll start counting callers. And the number here is 208-265-2992. I'll repeat it, 208-265-2992. And that's a gift from Laura Forsberg, one of our really dedicated listeners and supporters. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. So let's return back to the interesting interview we have going on with the three young people from the Cedar Post, print journalism, online journalism, and now radio, and a bright future ahead for the next year for the program. We see it continuing with Connor at least next year. Seems like it attracts a good bit of interest in the school, in the Cedar Post staff. Shouldn't be too hard to keep interest going. You see it going on to the future.
Yes. Yes, I do. And I also just want to give a big thank you to KRFY. You guys have really allowed the Cedar Post to have a whole new platform. And you guys have been so gracious and helpful towards me, and I really appreciate what KRFY does. So I just want to say thank you.
And there's a person here that's helped you a lot, I think, right, Susie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So thank you, Susie Prez, for helping this group of young folks. She's got great interest in education with her background at Waldorf, and this has been a mission of Susie's for many years to have more kids on KRFY.
She's been talking about it for a long time. It's nice to see it come about and see it come about in a way that's sustainable, as they say these days. And it does take a lot of people to put on something like a show. Tell us a little bit about the production. Now, we're live in the studio here this morning.
Yeah.
But this is a program you record elsewhere and then bring into play.
Yeah, so Mr. Love has really been a big influence in that. He bought these microphones that we have set up at in our classroom so I can just record during class, which is so nice. And then I bring it home and usually edit it at home and mixing the songs and everything, and then I put it on a flash drive and bring it in the next morning, and that's a really good system. It's been working out so far. At first, it was pretty stressful because I had no idea what I was doing. But
tell
now,
us about it, right, Phil?
Yeah, it doesn't get less stressful.
No, but gets more
easier over time.
Manageable, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, too, that way you probably have a selection of songs at your fingertips at home that aren't mm-hmm. necessarily in our radio library. And,
yeah.
And that's one of the nice things about listening to the show is it's something that's different than what we would have.
That's right. And what about those songs? You play some interesting music that we don't have in our Otto's Eclectic Mix, don't you?
Yes. So each week I try to pick up a few songs that I really enjoyed because I always like to listen to new music each week. And if I really like how a song sounds, I'll write down the name of that song and I'll try to add that to our mix or to my mix. And then also my parents have really introduced me to some really good older music. So I always like to throw in a few Throwback Thursdays to my mix to try to bring in all audiences. So
that really fits in well with the KRFY mission of diverse music and mm-hmm. diverse programming. It's appreciated.
Thank you.
So graduating here in about another month, what are you going to miss most about the radio? And then tell us more about what you'll miss most about high school.
I think, like I said, I think the radio has just really allowed me to discuss things with some students that I wouldn't have before. I mean, I think maybe how you guys have experienced when your senior year comes around, you kind of are just looking at the end. So it's kind of nice for my horizons to be opened a little bit and talk to people that I honestly haven't met before. I mean, as much as we all know everybody in Sandpoint, there's still people in my small school that I haven't spoken with.
Senioritis is supposed to be a springtime disease, not a winter one.
Yes, so.
Well, when you graduate in 3 weeks.
Yes. But it is interesting, you know, as we go through high school and when it's a large high school, we form our friendships and our small groups, and then we don't always reach out to other groups over time. So this is a good way for you to get to know others.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you have an example or two of some of the groups or people that you've talked with that have been interesting?
Last week, Connor was doing an interview with the student council. I wasn't involved, but as he records in our classroom, you still get to kind of be involved and listen in. That was super interesting. There's Battle for the Paddle coming up, which is super fun event against Lakeland. It's sports and things like that.
What is it? Battle for the Paddle.
It's a spirit event, so it's like a competition between the two schools with like basketball and wrestling and dressing up and things like that.
If you want to hear more about it, we actually wrote about 3 different articles on it in the paper that's coming out this Friday. So keep your eye out for that. But you can keep an eye out for our website, too, because I'm sure we'll be putting lots of information before and after about Battle for the Paddle.
Excellent. Yeah. I'll go there and read about it.
That's a great teaser.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, that was super interesting. Another aspect is Connor was also interviewing our athletic director, Chris Knowles. Our district, I guess, is making a change with athletic sports, with 5A and 4A schools having league play within the two divisions. So that's really interesting. Not many people know about that yet, but we were getting some really interesting insight from someone who's really involved with the change.
Yeah, that'll be a great interview. Neat.
Well, it's amazing, but first half of our show is almost over. Before we take a music break and bring in our next guest, let's have a couple closing thoughts from each of you. And Connor, maybe we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, like I said before, I'm really appreciative of KRFY and what you guys have done. And I also want to give a big thank you to Ryan for allowing us to take over his show. And this radio show has really allowed me to be more confident and have in speaking with people and meeting new people at the school. And I think it really allows Sandpoint High School to have a voice like it's never had in the past. So
neat.
Yeah, thank you so much to KRFY. To our journalism teacher, Mr. Love, he does so much behind the scenes that doesn't often get recognized. And of course, Susie. And yeah, this has just really helped us reach a whole new population of listeners and viewers, and it's attracted a lot more attention to our publication. So we really appreciate KRFY. And yeah, Connor already mentioned it, but every Thursday at 3 and Fridays at 10 p.m., you can listen to us chat with our people of SHS and hear some good new music.
And Shay.
I think I would just more want to say thank you guys, not even for allowing us to reach another group of people, but also adding another aspect to the Cedar Post. It's really changed my life, I'd say. I've learned so much. As much as I am ready to move on and go with the next step in life, I am thankful to that class, and you guys have really added another aspect to that, and for that, I'm really grateful because other students will get to have this experience as well.
And what part of Central America are you going to?
I'm going to Belize in Guatemala.
Oh, nice.
Great. Well, KRFY wants to thank you, Connor Bird and Shay and Emmy, for joining us and for putting in the time it takes to create a radio show and stay with it. It's a big commitment. So thank you as well.
Yes.
Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. The Cedar Post certainly brings the community to community radio that many of our listeners value, that people are in our listening audience wouldn't have the chance to experience otherwise. So thank you. And if you are listening, you know that we podcast our interviews. And so later today, if you missed any part of this or want to go back and listen to some of the answers, you can go to krfy.org, click on the podcast section, download it and listen to it, or listen to it live streaming.
That's right. And we're going to go to a short song break and then be back with Dave Hussey of Waterkeeper. But I'll remind folks that we do have this wonderful ticket to the Nutcracker that has not been given away for a donation, hopefully, of at least $30. So during the song break would be an excellent time for listeners to call in.
Yeah, call in, make your pledge, then you can go online or send a check in later at your convenience.
Correct.
Okay, coming up right now, we're going to listen to Ryan introduce the song.
Connor.
Sorry. I'm looking at you. I know Connor. But, yeah, okay. Thank you. That's all right. Introduce the song.
The spirit of Ryan.
The spirit of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers into the Great Wide Open. A Rebel Without a Clue. I think that there was a reason that Connor liked that song. And I think that was the line.
It sort of describes our last guests here at KRFY Morning Show. The Cedar Post.
The Cedar Post.
High school students.
High school students, a great voice that community radio can bring to our audiences, to our community, and we have another great voice coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that. If you like community radio like this, one way to support us is with an end-of-year donation or membership renewal. That's really easily done by going to krfy.org and clicking on the secure PayPal donate button. Or
yes, you can also call us, and there might be two reasons you would call us this morning, but the number is 208-265-2992, and if you call this morning, we're up to caller number three by now, and that would be you, the winner.
Well, we're at caller number two. The third caller, the next one, is going to win the ticket to the Eugene Ballet's performance of the Nutcracker. We hope that they will donate at least $30, the face value of the ticket, but the ticket's really priceless at this point since they're sold out.
Yes, it is. And if you're not able to call 265-2992 right now, you can always mail us a check at P.O. Box 2465 Sandpoint, zip code 83864.
But you need to call us and tell us you did that. So
yes,
operators are standing
by. Yes, you do. We'll trust you, but you need to call.
Next up, we have with us this morning a frequent guest of the morning show, Dave Hussey, who is a great musical performer. Has a lot of things to say about a lot of organizations, but today he's here on behalf of the Lake Pend Oreille Waterkeepers, where he's a founding board member, currently secretary of the board. We're going to talk a little bit about the Waterkeepers, the fact they're an underwriter, a little bit of history and vision for them for our listeners, and I think we're going to coax David's guitar out of its case at some point.
Yes.
Good morning, I'm excited Dave. About that, yeah. I must say, but also excited to be here and excited for KRFY's continuing success. I mean, it's been phenomenal to watch the station grow over the last, has it been 10 years?
Close to 10 years, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I remember sitting in on the early meetings when this was more fledgling and
sort of
pulling
a dream,
cable
right?
through the and walls I, here I, yeah. With Jeff Poole and so what it makes me think of is what the importance of community is here in our little corner of the world, and how we all wear many hats because there are many opportunities, shall I say, for jobs to volunteer, to do things to help make this a better place. And our organization, Lake Pondere Waterkeeper, it's early in the morning, is one of those organizations that's working hard to maintain our quality of life and our values here.
Yeah, tell us about the Waterkeepers, Dave. What is their job? What do they do? They're all over the country.
It's a world alliance. It's worldwide. There's about 300 organizations as far away as China, Iraq. There's a North Tigris River Waterkeeper. There's Waterkeepers in Costa Rica and Africa. Many in the U.S. It started on the Hudson River with a group of commercial fishermen who were concerned about the Hudson River catching on fire, much like the Cuyahoga in Cleveland, Ohio did in the 60s. And so those issues are things that brought the organization into realization. And so one of the early founders was Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was here just recently in September giving a keynote on our first of, we hope, many water summits. And the model for the Waterkeeper, we have amalgamated this in a different direction here where we live. Generally, most of the organizations have had success through litigation, and that is a way in which they manage to survive and keep going. But they live in areas where there are bigger issues, bigger money, and here in a small town like this, we've taken an entirely different direction and approached this from a scientific point of view. And so our mission to keep the waters of Lake Pondere and its tributaries swimmable, fishable, and drinkable for generations to come is really important to us. And so it's what we do. It's and so we do this through citizen science programs, and we train scientists from the citizen community and how to do water sampling and what the nature of that part of the work is.
So the local manifestation of this international network is the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers, and it is a wholly, it's not a subsidiary, it's its own entity.
Exactly right. I think the misconception is that there's this big, giant organization somewhere with a huge pot of money and they funnel it down to us. Well, in fact, it's exactly the opposite. We pay annual dues in order to hold the name and the brand and everything associated with that. So I think misperception is that we have deep pockets, and in fact, we're a struggling organization like any other, and look to the community for much of our support.
And so, like KRFY, the Waterkeepers are about 10 years old, if I remember right.
We'll actually be 11 in February.
Yeah, 11 in February.
Right.
So entering your second decade, always organizations undergo transitions, transformations, and I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the current state of the Waterkeepers and where you see it going.
This is a time of transition for us, and as such, we recognize and honor all of the people who have worked for us in many capacities, and we've had just incredibly wonderful people who've really moved the organization forward, and we're looking ahead to continuing many of the programs that we've been working on, including water quality monitoring. We have 15 stations throughout the watershed that we sample five times a year, May through September. And let me tell you, that's expensive, not for the volunteers, but the lab analysis of all of the things that people as a community want to know about their water is very expensive. And the nearest lab is Coeur d'Alene. So can you imagine once every month coordinating 15 people from this vast area of the watershed to bring all of these samples and that have been processed by them to one particular point so that we can race them to Coeur d'Alene within the 8-hour window we have before the expiration of some of these catalysts have affected the samples. So this is it's a big job, and we love doing it. We have committed people who are involved in the educational aspect of this, that Gray Henderson is one of our board members who has extensive experience in water issues and loves this work and loves teaching younger people how to get involved and getting young people in the community. We would like to get, like the Cedar Post, this influx of young people into our efforts as well. So the water quality monitoring is one of the foremost important things to us right now moving forward, and we're going to continue that program. And also, we have created a water quality monitoring program data and resource hub. Our website is being revamped as we speak, and in some very exciting directions. So if you visit our website, you'll see some very cool changes, many more to come. Other programs that we're planning on continuing, and one is our fifth grade lake ecology program, where we bring a lake model into the schools of the fifth graders and show them all the aspects of how an ecosystem in our lake actually functions, with phytoplankton and zooplankton, and introducing other elements. And then ultimately we use goldfish as our living fish, and it's great. And the kids just are sponges at that age and soak it up. We also have a watershed discovery camp that's been very successful every year in the summer. It's a summer camp for kids, and that's a program we're also continuing to move forward on. And then the Spirit of the Water Summit brought us a new vantage point, I'd say, a new way of looking at things. And so all of these things compound together to bring us to a point of being very excited about the future and the things that we can do in our community. And of course, like I said, we need, as everyone needs help, we need your help too. So
that's right. And Dave, you mentioned the costly testing. Are most of the folks who gather water for you volunteers, or you must have some paid employees?
In general, the staff does two to three of the sampling sites each time, and the rest are all citizen scientists that we've trained specifically for this job. And they go out in their kayaks or their power boats or sailboats or various forms of transportation on the lake.
It takes a lot of work, though, to coordinate volunteers, so it's a big effort, and one that, like so many organizations, as Dave mentioned, in our community, is worthy of support.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, it's remarkable the number of organizations like Scotchman Speak Wilderness People and the Bondurant Peddlers and the Kinixu Land Trust. They get all these volunteers. These people come from everywhere, and we have a shared passion for our local environment.
And so you're a volunteer, Dave, and you've been involved with it for a long time. You're committed to it. You're passionate about it. Tell us about how that came about. How did you first get that spark to become a founding board member of Waterkeepers?
Well, it goes way back, because when I grew up in Coeur d'Alene, and when I wanted to go to college, and of course my parents wanted me to stay in Coeur d'Alene and go to what was then North Idaho Junior College. I didn't like the name Junior very much. And so I took a job with the Bunker Hill Mining and Manufacturing Company up in the Kellogg and Wallace area in order to pay for my education. And so I worked the first summer I was out of high school. I worked there and saw for my own eyes what the effects of mining over the course of, at that time, about probably 80 years of mining, how it had affected the landscape, how the Coeur d'Alene River had turned a silvery gray, how the people were dying, they were losing their teeth at an early age. It was just phenomenal, the effects of the environment there. And these lasting effects are something that could happen anywhere. As the Rock Creek Alliance would attest to here, the potential for having upstream mining from us, it could be disastrous as far as our quality of life.
Mm-hmm. It affected you, and then you went on to college.
It affected me deeply. Mm-hmm. I went to the University of Idaho, and And I also worked in the Forest Service and for many years, and summers fire lookout duty, and that was the time of a lot of contemplative thought regarding our environment, among other things. Of course, I was a young man, so
and
you have many interests.
Did you learn to play guitar in those fire towers?
I had up to 8 hours a day to, when I wasn't watching for smoke and fires, to strum and hum and play. And yeah, so that was definitely a catalyst.
Yes.
Nice. So you have brought up a number of things that I think can lead to some really interesting places, but you do have your guitar with you, and we'd love you
to
grace us with a song, and we can talk a little bit about community radio while you're getting set up there.
Yes.
That sounds great.
So just a reminder from Julie that this is the end of year giving appeal here at KRFY, and you might consider doing it this morning because we do have a ticket to the upcoming Nutcracker, which is tomorrow evening. If you call in at 208-265-2992, you're going to be the one who wins that ticket.
Yeah, and you know, another great way to support KRFY at the end of the year, come down to Idaho Poor Authority on Wednesday night and join and meet the Brew Crew.
Yes.
We have our annual meeting and fundraiser. It starts at 5 p.m. It'll go to about 8. We're getting a little feedback. There we go. We'll go from 5 to 8. It's kind of the usual thing. If you're a supporter of any organization in town, you've come to one of these, come drink beer, buy some raffle tickets, bid on some silent auction items. We're going to have a great time.
Yes, you might even consider renewing your membership if you haven't.
If you haven't done it by then.
That's right. It would be a good time. And a third way you can donate, if we haven't mentioned already, is just to simply go online to krfy.org, and there's a pay button. It's a secure PayPal button. And go ahead and donate, and we will appreciate it. It'll keep us on air for ongoing months. Are we doing, Dave?
We're all ready when you are.
You look all like right. You're all lined up. Tell us what you're going to play.
Well, first of all, let me tell you what I am playing. This instrument was built here in Sandpoint in 1979. It was a custom build for me by the master luthier of Franklin guitars, Nick Kukich. And I've just recently got it back after some very, very important upgrades and repair that was needed after it had been through several wars and a couple of famines and a plague. And now it's back, and it sounds better than ever. So I'm very excited to be playing this instrument that was born here 40 years ago.
And it's beautiful. It has beautiful edging and the, just the color. And it looks very fresh, doesn't it?
It was made for TV, not radio.
Maybe so.
It's a television guitar.
There we go.
So if you can imagine me in my tuxedo and the guitar shining, of course.
I'm picturing you in a rhinestone outfit like
rhinestone.
Glenn Campbell.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. let's call it the water song of 2019. How about that?
That's a good one.
Is this its world premiere?
That song, yes, it was. That was its world premiere.
It was wonderful. It makes me want to take a walk in the woods, not finish the radio show, but finish we must.
Well, walk along the lake.
That's right. Well, a question that that came to me as I was listening to that beautiful song was about Waterkeeper's choice to underwrite with KRFY. From time to time, I have the volunteer job to approach potential underwriters, and when one agrees to underwrite with us, I'm always curious what was the decision-making process, why they decided to underwrite with KRFY. Do you know the answer for Waterkeeper?
Well, yes, of course I do, Julie. Thanks for asking. The the obvious reason is the reach of KRFY is so broad, and we knew that it would bring literally thousands of people to our door as soon as we started underwriting. And well, it's brought several people, and the connections once again are the community connections that keep us all bound together as one one people in one place. So I think that idea behind it has multiple motivations. You know, obviously there's if you're on the board of directors, a marketing campaign is something you look at in very real terms and real numbers, and you want to know about the demographics and the metrics for understanding what is the benefit. Well, like many things, there are more intangibles than tangibles, and so what we learn is that it makes us feel good. And we don't know what the results are exactly. We ask people, how do you hear from us? How do you learn about us? And oftentimes people don't themselves remember the source of their original connection. So,
right. It can be from many sources that come together and get people to get interested in your
Absolutely,
organization.
Right. And touching people on more than one level is always a good thing, too.
It's like John Muir noted, and especially talking about the natural world, you can't just pull one piece out of it. Everything's connected to each other. And it's the same with community.
The entire universe works that way.
That's right.
And so we've been talking today about our end-of-year individual giving, but it's a good reminder, an opportunity, really, that we have space for a couple more underwriters in the coming year.
We do. For those that are listening, if you're not aware of how KRFY stays on air, we have three principal ways. One is our membership and folks that renew membership every year, which they could do now or later. The second is our underwriters, and we've got a great group of underwriters whom we're hearing from this week. And finally, fundraisers. And that one of them is going to be this Wednesday, our annual meeting. So those are our three principal ways, Phil.
And they're all a lot of fun.
They are.
We are running close to the end of the hour. We've got just a couple more minutes, Dave. Any upcoming events from the Waterkeepers you'd like to talk about?
I did make some notes. Mostly, I'd say it's regarding what issues we're looking at currently and things that we still have our finger on the pulse of situations in our local environment that may affect us in the future. And of course, the BNSF second rail bridge expansion, which is actually three bridges, as you may or may not know, is moving forward. As you can see, the pile driver has been located. It could be up to a three-year process, and it will have lasting effects. So we're planning on monitoring every step of the way the process, and keep your eyes peeled. Report anything you see. You can call or check out the Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeeper.org website. There's also a pollution hotline phone number there, which I should have memorized and forgot to. So, but it is on the website. We're also watching very carefully the PacWest silicon smelter developments in Newport, Washington, or outside of Newport. The recent good news about the decision by the county commissioners to not allow for the the change of venue, so to speak. So those are a couple of the things we're thinking about.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's been a real pleasure. And as always, if you missed any of the interview, you can listen to it on a podcast later on. Dave Hussey, founding board member, secretary of the Lake Pend Oreille Waterkeepers. Thank you for coming in.
And Dave, we thank you, the Waterkeepers, for supporting KRFY through your underwriting. Thank you very much.
Great to be here and great to support you. Thank you.
We are just about out of time, but a couple quick hits of things coming up here on the station. If you're a fan of the morning show, you'll want to be sure to tune in tomorrow morning, where guests will be local pastors talking about the reason for the season. And then on Thursday, former KRFY broadcaster Ryan Baumgartner will be coming on with some great music to share. During the first half, the second half will be a gospel music mix with Dr. Julie and an underwriter of ours, I Care For You.
Very good. And the ticket has not been claimed, folks. So if it isn't claimed in the next few minutes, it will be available tomorrow. I'm guessing that our listeners this morning are not free tomorrow night, or they would have called in.
Probably not. Although our fundraiser starts at 5, one could go to the fundraiser, make a donation there and claim the ticket, and then go to the Nutcrackers. There's other tickets that will be raffled off tomorrow night, I am told, to the Jimmy Buffett show, faux show that's coming to the Spokane.
Yes, called Margaritaville.